Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Praise God, everyone. Happy Easter. He is risen. Come on, someone say it with me again. You can't say it enough. He is risen. And before we get into this message today on this unprecedented Easter Sunday, you know, I think that we're all going to remember this Easter 2020. But before we do, I just really want to thank the Lord for my salvation. You know, 25 years ago, I was a broken down junkie, criminal, violent past. And I thank God that He looked for me where I was at. You know, it was not medication that saved me, and it wasn't a well thought out plan, because I came to understand that there was no chemical or natural cure for a spiritual disease. But when I found out about Jesus Christ, when I found out that not only had He died to pay the price for me, that I could be changed, but that also He had risen from the dead to give me an opportunity to be set free, to reset my life and to start again, that is when my life changed. And I'm forever grateful that Jesus Christ rose from the grave and set me free. I don't know if any one of you right now can just give God just a little bit of praise or a thank you right where you're at. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. We're going to read 10 verses. And the title of this message that I really believe that the God has placed upon my heart for you today is Understanding Freedom. Understanding Freedom. And the Bible takes us on to that day. It takes us into that moment. And it says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. Don't you just love the way that the Bible makes everything so just so real, that the angel sat on it? Can you imagine an angel sitting upon the stone? I love that. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus." You know, there's some of you out there right now, maybe you've just come on for the first time, maybe someone's invited you, maybe you've had questions, and you're looking for Jesus. And just like the women, maybe you thought that this was something that maybe it wasn't real, it's just some myth, it's just some story. But just like the women, the angel said, "I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." Verse 8, it says, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. It's amazing how in these situations, when we come to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is real, that there's this tension that takes place within us. And as they went, Jesus met them and he greeted them. And they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there." Today is when we remember the biggest event that has ever occurred in history. the resurrection of Jesus. Many of us know already the backstory to what happened. We've watched the movies, you know, growing up. I always remember that series that used to be on, Jesus of Nazareth with Robert Powell. And we used to watch it at Easter while we were getting fat, eating chocolate Easter eggs and, you know, just hot cross buns and doing all that stuff. But it stuck. The story stuck. Many of us know what happened. Jesus, this perfect man, was rejected and cruelly abused. And then he was nailed to a cross. His execution was public. And his enemies thought that his death was going to be final. They thought that was it. Once he was on that cross, job done. It is finished. But it was not just finished in that way. But Jesus' work was finished. Before the sun went down on Passover day, his lifeless body was taken off the cross. It was quickly wrapped in burial cloths, blood seeping through it. And then it was placed in a tomb that belonged to one of the Jewish leaders that believed in Jesus, called Joseph of Arimathea. It was done quickly because the Sabbath was beginning, and from sundown to sundown, because that's how in the Bible and to the Jews, that's how you work out a day. It goes from evening to evening, not morning to morning like we do, but evening to evening. Sundown was coming, and the Sabbath was going to begin at sundown. And so from sundown on that day and to sundown, Jesus' body was left unattended and cold in that cold resting place carved from a rock. To cap it all, the Jewish leaders of the time that hated Jesus, they requested that the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, would not only have the tomb sealed with a huge stone, but that it would also be guarded by soldiers to make sure that no one could tamper with it. There would be no rescue attempt from the disciples. That was going to be impossible. You know, there's been theories that the disciples went in and stole Jesus' body. But you've got a huge stone and you've got it sealed with seals and Roman soldiers, professional soldiers, stationed around it to make sure that was not going to happen. It was impossible. But even on top of that, the disciples, all bar John, the only one that had been there at the crucifixion with Jesus' mother Mary, all the other disciples had gone into lockdown. We think lockdown's just for us, but they went into lockdown. All their illusions of freedom had suddenly been put into context. All of their dreams of what could be had suddenly been brought into a reality that they didn't see coming. When we talk about freedom, I think it's true that many people have got not a clue what real freedom is. I know I never had. A lot of people think that freedom is based upon the acceptance of society. And they think that as long as everyone around you agrees with you, then you're free to do whatever you want. But if your freedom is just based upon the acceptance of society, it can be easily taken away when all the moods and the fashions change around you. If your freedom is centered on yourself, then there's going to come a time when you wake up to the fact that you don't have the resources in yourself to pay the bill that suddenly gets required of you from time to time as we walk on this journey called life. And we all seen that happen at some season in our life when all of a sudden something is required and we don't have the resource within ourselves. Some illness, some sickness, some problem, some drama. Something outside of our control, and all of a sudden we realize that we're not really that free. In those times, people who would use experiences to help them forget their reality. And I don't know about you, but I lived my life like that. My reality of life at one point was dark and it was confusing. And I would go out and use experiences. I'd run around and do this, I'd go here, I'd travel here, I'd try this drug and that drug and this drink and this party and I'd try this experience and this crazy thing. And all of it was so that I would forget my reality. Has anyone else done that out there? I'm sure that someone's saying amen to that right now. But suddenly, there comes a time like the one we're in. Suddenly you have no choice. You can't go and have experiences to forget your reality. Suddenly you have no choice but to have a look honestly at that reality. And then there comes the understanding that forgetfulness is no substitute for peace. All the drugs in the world, all the drink in the world, all the good times in the world can only ever give you forgetfulness. Because it's all from outside. But only God can give you peace. None of us have what it takes in our own selves to conjure up the assurance of our place right now. Right now where you're at. None of us have the assurance that we need of where it is that we're at, what the future holds, in and of ourselves. And by yourself, you definitely can't conjure up any assurance about your final destination. Before I became a follower of Jesus, when I was out on the road, I was out on the street, I was doing my thing, one of my mates asked me a question and it just hit me. It's like a punch up the guts. I wasn't even looking for this. I wasn't even searching for anything like this, but he asked me this one question. He said, where are you going to go when you die? And I tried to palm it off. I tried to poo-poo it. I tried to go away and forget it, but it just kept ringing in me. Where are you going to go when you die? Where are you going to go when you die? Where are you going to go when you die? And I was living a life where death was a reality. With this question, though, what I've found and what I tried to do and what many of you have tried to do is that you simply try and ignore it. You try and push it aside. You try not to think about it. That's for later on. That's for someone else. That's not for me. Or some people, even some very intellectual people, they try and explain it away with some sort of equation or some sort of empirical method that this is going to happen and it can't happen. And they try and explain all that stuff away. But deep down, man, deep down, we know that there's more to it than that. There's more to it. There's more to this existence. There's more to what happens after this existence than something you can just ignore or explain away. And my question is this. Has your understanding of freedom been just an illusion all along? See, here's the thing. All of us have been slaves to something sometime in our lives, and most of us even without even knowing it. You don't even realize sometimes that you're not free. It might be that your freedom has been taken by the buildup of habits. Those little habits, those little ninjas that come and creep in, and before you know it, you're addicted to something, or you're stuck in a mold and you can't get out, stuck in a moment that you can't get out of. Or maybe it's our own senses and our need for pleasurable experiences, like we already said, that we become a slave to that, that we have to have these external things to give us meaning and reality in our lives, to give us an illusion that we're free and we're in charge and we're in control. It could be that you've been a slave to your environment, where you live, where you were brought up, or even a slave to your culture. And culture's more than just what country you come from. Culture can be whether you were poor growing up, whether none of your family have had a job or a degree, or you've never been to university, or maybe you were rich and you're entitled, or whatever the situation, your culture can hold you captive. What about that need to fit into a nice, comfortable box that the system delivers to us? Grow up, go to school, learn what we tell you to learn, come out, go to university, get in debt, get this type of job, get that type of job, marry like this, live like that, etc., etc., etc. Are you with me? Freedom, where is it? When we realize all this, when we're where we are right now, locked down, And really, really feeling and understanding right now that our freedom is being taken away from us. You can only buy three of these things. You can only drive so far. You can only go out once a day for this. You can only do that. And all of these things are for a good purpose right now. We want to help our NHS. We want to help to kill this virus. We want to help to do that. But in the midst of it, if we're honest, you can see freedom just disappearing. Now it starts to become real. But the question is, the real question is, have you ever really been truly free? Don't think for a moment, I used to think like this, don't you dare think for a moment though, that freedom is the absence of responsibility. When you talk about freedom sometimes, you remember those long, carefree, lazy summers when you were a kid, when there was no school and you could go out and play and do what you wanted. You had no bills. You could eat what you want. You could wash when you want, some of you. And we think that that was freedom and we long for those days because now we realize all of the pressures that are upon us to conform, to perform. But don't think that the absence of responsibility has got anything to do with freedom. That wasn't freedom, that was just ignorance. We were ignorant then of everything that life was one day going to require of us. Because whatever you do, whenever you play now, you've always got to pay later. Anyone who's ever had a debt on a credit card can tell you that and say amen. Play now, pay later. The absence of responsibility is not freedom, it's just ignorance. So what's the significance of this day? What does the resurrection of Jesus really mean for us? It's this. For something to live freely, something had to die freely. We saw that happen in the account of Good Friday, the time of the Jewish Passover. The Feast of Passover was an ongoing thing, year after year, where sin was passed over. But Jesus fulfilled it once and for all. And that's the reason why we celebrate the way we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate it because it was a one-off thing that Jesus did. On that Sunday, Yom Rishon in Hebrew, the first day of the week, life came back into Jesus' lifeless body and he got up. After paying the price with his death to cover all of our selfish mistakes of the past. And if you know, we've had some stuff in the past that we want to get rid of. We've tried to forget. We've tried to bury it, but it keeps coming back up. It keeps coming back to remind us, right? But Jesus, through his death, by his blood, he washed all that away. All the mistakes, the selfish mistakes of that past, in that moment, Jesus gave us the opportunity to know true freedom. Put simply, this means that there's an opportunity right now today for complete reset. You can be completely free. You can come to Jesus right where you're at in your own home, right now, with all your wrongs. And because of what he did, you can receive all his rights. And they are incredible. You can become alive spiritually. Listen to me. When you become alive spiritually, your eyes are truly opened and you can really see what's going on. You don't have to get involved in conspiracy theories because you see even beyond all that. You see the big picture. You understand what's taking place. You understand who's who and what's what and what's going to happen. That happens when you become born again. You could be connected once again to the source of life so that even death then will have no power over you. Oh yeah, we might get rid of this body one day, but as soon as this just passes away and goes to dust, as soon as we breathe our last breath, we enter into a new life. And that life goes on and on and on and on and on forever and never ever stops. And in the new life, there will be no more death. There will be no more weeping or crying. There will be no more sickness. You'll even possibly have a proper six-pack. You'll fit into whatever dress you want. Hello. And even in this life, you can become part of a community of people who have also been set free in the same way. From every culture, every tribe, every nation, every background, every age group, but all with the same freedom from now on until their future. But you know what? Like those disciples that were in lockdown back then on that first Sunday, that were being told the same thing that we're being told right now, that you're being told right now, that Jesus has risen. Jesus is alive. He ain't dead. Jesus is alive. There is hope for our future. They were listening to it right then, locked down in their place, just as maybe you're listening to it right now. And it, just like with them, it must have seemed to them and also maybe to you a little bit too difficult to get your head around. In this season we're in of upheaval and tension, we share a lot of things with those original disciples. Before this lockdown, I travel a lot. I preach in different places. I met a wonderful, wonderful Christian lady when I was in Scotland by the name of Jean. And she sent me this the other day. She received it from a friend. I want to read what she sent. She said, the very first Easter was not a crowded worship space with singing and praising. On the very first Easter, the disciples were locked in their homes. It was dangerous for them to come out. They were afraid. They wanted to believe the good news they'd heard from the women that Jesus had risen, but it seemed too good to be true. They were living in a time of such despair and such fear. If they left their homes, their lives and the lives of their loved ones might be at risk. Ring any bells? Could a miracle have really happened though? Could life really have won out over death? Could this time of terror and fear come to an end? Alone in their homes, they dared to believe that hope was possible. That the long night was almost over and that the morning had broken. That God's love was the most powerful thing of all in all the universe, even though it didn't seem quite real to them yet. Eventually, they, just like us, were able to leave their homes when the fear and the danger had subsided, and they went around celebrating and spreading the good news that Jesus was risen, that love was the most powerful force on the earth. This year we might get to experience a taste of what that first Easter was like, still in our own homes, daring to believe that hope is on the horizon. Then after a while, when it's safe for all people, when it is the most loving choice, we will come out, we'll gather together again, maybe even closer than 2 meters. Hallelujah. A little bit closer than punching distance. Come on now. And we can get together again and we can shout and we can praise and we can hug each other and smack each other on the back and rejoice that God brings life even out of death. And it might be that you right now watching, you're the father or the mother or the brother or the sister or the friend of someone who has already received this and experienced this for themselves, and you know that something is different in their life. It might be that you're asking that same question, could this be true? This year, we might get the closest taste we've ever had to what that first Easter was like. So can we have hope? Can we know real freedom? Because of Jesus, not based upon the constrictions of the world around us or based upon our own self, but based upon the decision of God to love us and to give us a new chance. The answer, I believe, is yes, because he's risen. He is risen. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And you know what? There's witnesses to this resurrection. Paul the Apostle wrote to the Greek church in Corinth And he said this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. He says about Jesus, he said he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen, watch this, he was seen by Peter and then the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Watch this, man, this is heavy. Most of whom are still alive, although some have died. You know, when Paul wrote this to the church, there were still people alive that were eyewitnesses that actually spoke to Jesus, met with Jesus, touched Jesus, ate with Jesus in his resurrected state. Eyewitnesses. He said, then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him, said Paul. I'm also a witness. I haven't seen Jesus with my eyes. I haven't touched him with my physical hands. But I want to let you know right now, I have seen the evidence of his resurrection setting me free from so many areas in my life. I'm not a junkie no more. I'm not messed up no more like that. I'm not out there on the street no more. I'm not lost no more. I've got hope and I've got a future. I am free, man. I am free. I am free. And I am a husband of a beautiful wife. I am a father of two beautiful children, Thomas and Lily. I'm the pastor of the most amazing church in the world. And it's because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. No one else could have done it for me. No other philosophical system, no drug, no potion, no other system. I tried them. But when someone told me that Jesus Christ was who he says he is and did what he said he could do and he would do it for me, I jumped on that. And I'm so glad that I did. Now you can experience this reality for yourself. Because I can describe it until I'm blue in the face, but it's always better to experience it for yourself. Turn to him right now. Resurrection Sunday, imagine it. What a memory that I was born again on Resurrection Sunday 2020 in the middle of a pandemic when death was around me. That's the day that I came alive. Man, you will never ever forget that. And the thing is this, man, everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing it. So what are you waiting for? And then in the name of Jesus, you'll be truly free. I want to pray right now. Wherever you're at in your home, in your house, watching, if you're in the hood, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never come to church, or even if you're a Christian locked down like those disciples, wondering what this whole thing means to you right now, I want to pray for you. First of all, I want to pray for everyone that wants to give Jesus Christ their life right now so that they can be set completely free. I want to give you that opportunity right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for you right now that you would turn to him and that you would know him. I want you to pray this. If you're with someone that wants to pray, get with them right now in your household and pray this. Say, dear God, come on, speak it out. Dear God, I've realized I'm not free. I've made so many mistakes in my life, and everything that I've done wrong, I did it to you. I can't change myself, but I have heard that Jesus Christ can set me free. Lord, would you forgive me right now for all the things I've done? May your blood cover me, wash me clean. Jesus, be my Savior, be my Lord, become my friend. Fill me with your resurrection life and set me free. Thank you, Jesus. want to take a moment and thank him. And right now I want to pray, because I listen, time and distance have no, they're no barrier to God. Right now, the power of the living God is all around me right now. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're grateful to you, oh God. I want every one of our lives to give you a reward for your sacrifice. Right now, in every home, in every household, amongst every family group, even those that are isolating on their own, right now, oh God, I pray, reach into their home and release the anointing of this Resurrection Sunday. I pray, God, that you would heal every sickness, that you would transform every mind, that you would break every addiction and every habit, that you would reconcile every family, that you would give hope, and that, God, that there would be freedom in every place right now. Lord God, even though we might not be able to see you with our physical eyes, God, I pray that every heart would be able to feel and receive your love and your touch. Lord, let your anointing flow and fill every place. Change us and make us new.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.